You who are loved by the Lord, grace and peace to you all. Amen. You probably know this. We've talked a little bit about the Building Task Force. They have completed a lot of their work, at least at getting our floor plan done, and they've done monumental work in getting us to where we are. And so far, we've made a lot of good decisions. For instance, this one, the shape of our building. It's not going to be a circle like that. We looked at all kinds of shapes. We looked at a rectangle. We considered odd shapes like that. We even looked at a octagonal shape. I mean, stop and come to living water. Okay, maybe that wouldn't work. So we landed on that shape. It's going to be a square. We figured that's the best, most efficient use of space as we go about designing a size of something. We looked at different sizes for the square, 20 by 20, too small, still too small, 100 by 100, too big, and we went 80 by 80. So that's the size. Roofing, we had lots of choices. We thought Three Little Pigs could be a straw house, but no, that wouldn't work. Something tile-ish, that could be asphalt, possibly. Flat roof, no, this is up north. They just get into trouble when you got a flat roof, right? So we're going to go with a metal roof. We know that much. We've made that much of a decision. The walls, there's all kinds of ways you could go with walls, but we do know it has to have some kind of concrete in it for our insurance purposes, so that much was done. And the floor plan, well, I kind of stretched it out here, and it looks like a rectangle that's actually a square. So we know roughly what the floor plan is going to look like. We showed you that in more detail a couple weeks ago. Which brings us to the next stage of our work. While the architect is busy putting things together like elevations so we can see what it's going to look like, and while the AV people are trying to figure out where do you put screens, because we are very screen-driven, right? We want to be able to be a short person in the back, and on a Sunday morning, whether you're sitting or standing, be able to see the screen. So we need more than one screen, so you've got screens to look at, and high enough so you can see them. That much decision has been made. The big question we're asking now is about numbers. That's our job, putting numbers together. Asking the question, how much will this cost? Looking at all these pieces of the puzzle, looking at electrical and plumbing and excavating and the roof and the walls and the finishing stuff and all those kinds of things, how much will this cost? That's our big job. And we are working on that diligently as we speak. Now, 5 months ago, we began using this book called The Gospel, that is the story of Luke as he looks at the life of Jesus. And we began at that moment when Jesus was baptized. We saw him go down into the water. We heard the voice say, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." He came up out of the banks of the Jordan, and he was walking around and going everywhere doing ministry, and we followed him as he preached his first sermon. We listened to him do his first miracles, and the amazing things that he did as he laid foundation for the kingdom of God and collected disciples to go about doing his ministry. That was 5 months ago. We are now down on the downhill side of Jesus' life, which means, in baseball terms, he's rounding third base and he's headed for home, except in his case, home plate is not the end. Home plate is the beginning of a battle. He will go to the cross when he gets there. That'll be our lessons here in just a couple short months. He will go to the cross to suffer a terrible, agonizing death for the sins of the world. And we will be there with him as he does that. Which is perhaps why, as he's making his steps towards now the cross, getting closer and closer to that end, that he stops and he turns and he looks at the huge crowds that have been following him and he addresses them. He sits them all down and he says this. He says, all of you in these crowds who follow me day after day and marvel at my miracles and my teachings, let me tell you what this is going to cost. Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, what's he saying? Hate your kids? No. Be annoyed perpetually, continually, thinking that you have to dislike constantly your parents? No, absolutely not. He's speaking in hyperbole. This is exaggeration. This is overstatement for effect, to get people to think about and examine their commitments, their priorities, themselves. And this is the question Jesus wants everybody in the crowd to consider before they take one more step with him towards home plate. If you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to continue on this journey, a journey that's not going to have a pretty ending, I need each and every person here to ask this question. Do you know how much it's going to cost? Now, building a new church, what we're calling a center for mission, I tell you, is a new process for me. I'm learning as I go. You can ask anybody on the committee, because I've never done anything like this. And I have to tell you, one of my biggest learnings so far is that you can take a project, a thing, and give it to a contractor, and then give it to another contractor, the same project, and two very good, very reputable contractors can look at the same needs, the same job, and come up with completely different estimates. For instance, HVAC. I've learned that that stands for heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. All right? So we got a quick estimate on HVAC. One is $81,000 for our new building. One is $105,000. Now that's a big difference, isn't it? That's a huge difference. That's a lot of money difference. How do you suppose that happened? Now, one thing I learned then is to look at the bid sheet and read it, and that will tell you a lot about why one is different. And there are reasons. One may use different componentry than the other. One may estimate labor differently than the other. One may be willing to take less price, less money, make less profit than the other, which means you get two very different results. So in wrestling with the question, how much does this cost, the answer is, well, it depends on which bid sheet you use, right? So if those are the prices of HVAC for our building. How much does it cost, then, to be a follower of Jesus? How much does it cost to follow our Lord? Say, example A. I'm bid sheet A. Those might be the ones who would intentionally want to lowball you, just to get you in the door so that you can make sure all your needs are met and you'll stay and you'll keep coming back. So, you want to join our church? No problem. Doesn't cost much at all. Attendance? Come if you want to. You don't have to, though. It's no big deal. Sermons? We'll preach sermons. We promise we'll never ruffle your feathers, step on your toes. We won't upset you. We want you to be happy. That's the most important thing. Offering? You can give if you want to, but please don't inconvenience yourself. Reading the Bible? Well, that's okay, but you know it is kind of confusing, so if you don't read it, that's okay too. After all, you've probably got other good things that you need to read. And after all, who reads anymore anyway, right? Serving others? Well, if you've got time, that'd be good, but we all know you're very busy and you've got other things to do. Bottom line, your happiness is most important to us. We want you to keep coming back, so we promise to do anything we can for you to make sure that happens. Ever known a church like that? Ever been part of a church like that? Ever heard a pastor talk like that? I can confess, sometimes I am the lowball seller. I do it. I slip into that. That is one of my faults as a pastor. I can lowball really easily. It's hard, because when you want things to work, when you want them to come together, sometimes you'll say things that you really shouldn't say. Because the cost. You want to make the cost as low as possible to make it sound as good as possible. But what does Jesus say today? Is following him easy? Does it cost that little? Is the price really that low? Mm-mm. How much does it cost to be a disciple of Jesus? We hear today, don't we? The price tag is high. What is the price tag? What does he say it costs to follow him? Pick up your cross, an instrument of shame. That's what we talked about last week, right? An instrument of humility, of disgrace, of service. Jesus says, go ahead. If you want to follow me, do you want to be a disciple? I'd love to have you. Pick up your cross and follow me, because that's where we're headed. Up to that hill where those two thieves are waiting, because I'm going first and you may be next. I've told this story before, but it's a good story, so it bears sharing. It was over a year ago now when we had a family come and visit us. They visited once, visited twice, visited three times, and then a month later I noticed that they hadn't come again. So I gave them a call, followed up, and said, you know, we'd enjoyed having you come and haven't seen you for a while. Wanted to know if you had any questions, if being a part of Living Water was something you were interested in, or if you found another church. And they said, well, thank you, we have found another church. And I said, you know, may I ask why? They said, well, it just wasn't a right fit. Living Water wasn't a good fit for us. And I said, well, really, so what were you looking for? I'm really curious, because every church is different and every church is unique and has its own personality. They said, well, we wanted a church that didn't expect quite so much of us. I said, really, how did you know we expected a lot when you'd only come two or three times? They said, those clipboards. You kept asking us to fill out a clipboard and put our name down for Ruby's Pantry, for the Bloodmobile, for serving a meal to a family in need, and on and on, and taking care of the youth group and confirmation and so on and so on. And I thought, yeah, we do ask a lot, don't we? And that is who we are. But I think we come by that approach, that mission, faithfully. Because what is our mission about? Serving others through Christ. We are not here for ourselves. We are here to give away God's love in the world and to share the kingdom of God, and that is who we are. We don't want to lowball anybody, do we? Because why? Because the price is high. Jesus reminds us today just how high that price is. This morning, I'd like to close by inviting you to join me with me in a confession of faith. It's one that's based on our core values. We see them every week over there. They're on that poster, and on Palm Sunday, you'll be given an opportunity to sign that poster. In 6 weeks, that'll be Palm Sunday, and that'll be the date committed to Living Sunday. For today, I want to just simply invite you to join me in a brief litany of confession as we remember and affirm who we are as Living Water and what we believe as a body of Christ. Let us confess. Gathered in the name of our Lord Jesus, we believe participating in weekly worship is a great privilege, for in this time we hear clearly the good news of Jesus Christ and are reassured that His love for us is real. Trusting that we are loved by our Creator, we believe God eagerly desires to connect with us through prayer, which is why we immerse ourselves in a daily discipline of bold and confident prayer. Oops. Did I mess up?
No, she didn't.
Okay.
You didn't flip, so I flipped.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Catch my back. Okay. Believing that life is too difficult to attempt on our own. We believe spiritual friendships which provide encouragement, support, and accountability are essential to life in the body of Christ. Excited to grow more deeply into the people God has created us to be, we believe God is continually revealing Himself to us through His Holy Word, inviting us to deepen our faith through daily reading of the Bible. Eager to bring the kingdom of God into this place and this time, we believe a living faith is best expressed through a life of joyful service in Jesus' name to the poor, sick, hungry, and marginalized. Knowing that God desires to provide for us out of God's abundance, we believe God is generous and has richly and uniquely gifted our congregation with all we need for life and mission. All morning long we've been asking this question, how much does it cost? The answer, short, difficult, challenging, forever life-changing, but also life-giving. What does it cost? It costs everything we've got. And all God's people said,
Amen.
All right.